And you might like to turn in your Bible to the first epistle of John and chapter 4. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our God, we've opened thy word, so help us understand. Spirit of God is your ministry to help us understand. So here we are. And Lord, here you are. So we want to have the benefit of all that you've made possible and all that you are making possible, even this second. And our God, we thank you. So deal with us. Thank you very much. Honor yourself. And our Father, thank you. In Christ's name, amen. And remember in our study, looking at the Epistle of John, 1 John, and to capitalize on the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And how do you do that? Think of the Gospel of John, the 21 chapters, telling us what? 199 times to believe his wonderful person and to trust him with all our heart. That's what he's saying. He's done a wonderful thing. He'd go to the cross and die, and he would cry out among other things, he'd say, "It is finished. I'm all done. I've finished it." Now, and thus 1 John is to capitalize on what he's finished. What did he finish? He finished the whole wonderful plan of Christ, the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world, that God would have to go to the cross and die. He himself, in the perfect humanity of the Lord Jesus, he would go and die for us in a most wonderful way to provide all that he had in mind. Genesis 1, 26, 27, we're made in his image and likeness, and all that he had in mind can come to pass. Otherwise, it couldn't come to pass, because he died to make it possible for us to have it. Therefore, in 1 John, the enemy is there. It's near 100 AD. A lot of things are happening now. Remember, you know, the Apostle John, the last living apostle, is facing lots of problems. And thus, you have the book of Revelation at the same period of history. He gives the book of Revelation, which isn't good news. It's bad news for the world. Good news for God's will to be outworked. Now, having said that, and we share together, so 1 John is about enjoying what God has finished, what God has made possible. That's a 1 John. Because the enemy is there. In a world of darkness and death, the enemy is there to take away from us the wonderful light. We're trying to walk in the light, 1 John 1:7, to walk in the light as he is in the light. And so we look to God and look to God, and God wants us to be able to capitalize on what he has made possible on Calvary's cross. When does he want us to capitalize on it? Now. Now. So 1 John is written to try to overcome all that has taken place and is taking place. So in 1 John, we shared together, and we did all these things. And in 1 John chapter 4, and you'll recall that God has gone in his most wonderful way and given us to enjoy a unique oneness with him. The vine and the branches, the tree and the branches enjoying the life of the vine in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, and so therefore, and we're to understand always, it's most of us, most people don't, when they think of God, they think of God, whatever that means to them, God. And somewhere, if there is a God, where are you? So somewhere, think of Greek mythology and all of that, and out there is somewhere in Zeus and the rest of them, Mercury and them, and they're out there. And they're out there somewhere, up there in some heavens, somewhere. And that's how we think of God. We can't see God, hang on to that. So we just don't think about God. So God, when it comes to God, we read and we talk and hope God in heaven, wherever that is, how far away that is, that you hear me. He says he hears me, see. And what I'm missing, and always missing, I don't want to miss it, is that he's always, we can never be out of his presence. There's no such thing as being out of the presence of God. It doesn't exist. In heaven and hell coming up, it just doesn't exist. You're always in the presence of God. How far away is God? Like in Deuteronomy 30 and Romans chapter 10. He's right here. You don't have to go anywhere. Because you have to understand, God, not Zeus or something, Mercury, Diane, no. God, in his infinite, wonderful person. That's how did you do it, Moses? How did you last all those years? I endured. I looked to him who was invisible. He was always there. Even though I didn't see him, he was always there. Now, keeping that in mind, what do you want us to understand, God? So Deuteronomy, here's 1 John. And 1 John, we're not doing, just doing the little bit. Chapter 4, and you'll notice in verse 12, no man has seen God at any time. We love one another. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us and in us, and his love is perfected in us. So it's a inside, it's a unique, I've said it a thousand times, tree, the branches, the vine, the branches. It's a unique, unique, wonderful relationship. And if you and I were reading in First Epistle, for the Gospel of John, chapter 15, etc., and we kept turning the page, 17. What is it all about? A unique, John 17, as my Father sent me, so send I you. And what for? That when they see you, they'll see me. We have John 17, 21, 22, 23. We have a unique oneness. We don't have to see it. When you're believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, when you're believing, present tense, believers need to be believing. I remember them asking that at a convention once afterwards. They said, what do you mean we got to be believing? Believing. I'm a believer. Is the believer believing? If you want believing, that's what you're saying. Present tense. You have to be, I'm alive. We're alive physically. We are presently living, present tense. We're living. We need to be believers, and we need to understand we have a unique relationship to God that is alive and well. Thus, we're believing. We are actually believing. We're believing. We're breathing. No one has to argue about it. You're all breathing. You're breathing. We all breathers are supposed to be believing, 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 believing. That's what they do. That's what they do. They enjoy physical life by breathing. They enjoy spiritual life by believing. And if you aren't believing, it's not going anywhere. What are we believing? That he is in us and us in him. And you read it over and over again. It's worth even reading again. Verse 13, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us. Now, you can't say it in simple language. There is no way to say this. It's a unique relationship. That's why I keep saying the vine and the branch, the tree and the branches. But it's so simple. The tree is providing life for the branch. Christ is providing God's life for the believer. That's what he's doing. Now, so having said that and keeping that in mind, I forgot doing this. I'm going to glue them up here and then I want to do that and make a difference. Okay. And picking up in verse 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God dwelleth in him and he in God. So all believers are supposed to be believing. They have a unique relationship to God. That's what makes our oneness. Our oneness. We have the same God. So everyone that's saved here, we're in the same God. We're in the same God. We have the same life. We have the same love. We have the same Lord. That's where we are. And we're supposed to recognize that. And if we recognize that, then we're going to go and understand. The world's going to see what? That we understand we're believers. Not everyone's believing, but the believers that are believing, there they are. They're marked. And we know they're marked. So the world looks, by this shall all men know that you are my, John 13, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. They aren't going to know any other way. They can't see God. They don't hear God. They don't see anything except religion up to their eyeballs. They got everything out there. But they don't see God. So therefore, that's the relationship. It's a super duper one. And now let me do it a little more. So verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Now you can't say it. God dwells in the believer, and the believer dwells in God. That's what they do. It's a unique relationship. When is that relationship valid? When is it real? When you received him as your Savior. It's all done. He died on the cross, finished it, and said, whosoever believeth in me and receives me as my Savior, John 3:16, God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son, etc. So what are we doing, God? When we received you as our Savior, we received what? You're a wonderful person. When I received Christ and you received Christ as your Savior, how much of God's wonderful saving grace did you receive? When you received Christ, God, if I was going to, when I go in my house, over there. Jeanette is there, in there. Jeanette receives when I go in the house through the door, and here I am. How much of me does Jeanette have? How much she has? All the way when I was a little baby, she has all of me. When I enter that room, when you receive Christ as your Savior, you don't have any more of them. You got all of God. It's finished. It's a wonderful thing he just did. He saved you. Keep going. You're in him, he's in you. You can't get it. I'd say it 1,000 times, 10,000 times. But that's a relationship. That's the relationship that he's looking for. That's what he wants. An abiding branch in his wonderful son. His wonderful son providing his wonderful person in your heart and in your head. Now, therefore we come to verse 17, which we did. Herein is our love. Herein is our love made perfect. Made perfect. Remember the word perfect, complete, finished, wanting nothing. Coming to the end, boom. Come to the end of the marathon, you cross the line, that's the finish line. That's the word. Finished. Finished. The football crossed the goal line. It's done. You don't have to go any further. Don't have to go any further. It's finished. Perfect. Finished. Complete. Verse 17. And you know what we said, we read it over in verse 12. Look at verse 12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Now, how much does he save you? Perfect, complete, finished, cross the goal line. He's finished. How much more is he going to do? It's done. It's done. You aren't going to get more saved. It's not going to happen. What you need to do is outwork that relationship to enjoy being saved. God isn't going to make you more saved. He's done. He's done. It's finished. That's what he did. And he says, now trust me and exercise my life. Abide. Abide. Exercise. Think of the woman at the well. No. Woman at the well, woman at the well is good for. Think of chapter 11, John 11, to Martha. Martha, listen, I know you Lazarus is dead, but hey, by the way, Martha, listen, don't you think, what do you think that I'm going to tell you? You're looking at me, he said. I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe that? I am. If you believe in me, you believe that I am that. Then I am the life. I am the resurrection. I am all of it finished. Now all you have to do is what? What? Then he says the simple thing. He doesn't say believe. He says, do you believe you'll never die? Do you believe you'll never die? If I am your life, how could you die? Except physically. How could you possibly die if I am your life and you believe me? You're going to die physically, there's no question. That's the trouble. We're all dying. So God, what are we doing? Verse 17, herein is my our love made perfect. What for? In order that, purpose, result, the little word purpose, in order that, the result, that we may have boldness, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Now, I'm going to try to be back there with those people, and you know it. Here they are. They're getting hit with all these different things being fired at them, that you're really not saved, you really didn't do enough. The Jews would be saying this, the Gnostics would be saying this, Greeks were saying this, all kinds of things coming at them. You really can't. Here you are walking. You go to work. You go to a neighborhood grocery store, make believe, and you go in. And they say, oh, yeah, you're the guy that believes you have eternal life and you're going to live forever. And then I give all these different things that are coming to challenge it, to challenge it. So now I got to listen to 30, and I only know so much. I just get saved. I only know so much. And they're telling me all kinds of things. all kinds of things to think. What about this? What about this factor? What about this truth, thing that we believe? What about that? And you say, wow, what are you trying to say to us, God? What is John trying to tell us to help us? It's finished. It's finished. I did it. And all you're doing is what? You're going to trust me. And how's it going to show up? Because, verse 17, that you may have boldness. The word bold, free, frank, fearless. Free, frank, fearless. We have boldness in the day of judgment. What's the problem? Because you're looking to say you're safe. You can't be safer. You're saved. You can't be safer. Safer. Yeah, whatever it is. Come on, right? You got the idea. You can't be. You can't be. And you're worried. No, you're not worried. Because there's punishment. You're going to die. And we all know that. Yes. But there is no problem in the judgment seat of Christ. Not for me. Do you know that, dear friend? Because he saved you. And therefore, when you and I exit from this body, what are we going to do? To be found in the presence of the Lord. Why? Because you're saved. And you need to be what? Bold. Don't sit there. That's what you say. You could say, well, people say, well, maybe you didn't do enough. Maybe you aren't enough. Maybe you did a lot of things that you shouldn't be there. All those things, they're all true. They're all true. But that isn't why I'm saved. I'm not saved because of my sin. I'm saved because the Savior took my sin on Calvary's cross and paid the price. So it isn't a question of sin. So in verse 17 again, we have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. As he is. How is he? He is the risen Lord Christ, seated at the right hand of God. That's what he is. When is he seated? When is he finished, seated, done? It's done. There is no time to God. It's a finished thing. When you got saved, God saved you, not in time. God saved you in the light of eternity. God saved you in a wonderful way. So now, just to see that a little bit, over to Hebrews, right next door. Hebrews, if I may. And you would know it already. Picking up, if I may. And going, and where are you? Hebrews. I turn to chapter 10. So go to chapter 10. Chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And you will remember, if I may. Chapter 10, verse 18. I'm going to read verse 17. Chapter 10, Hebrews 17. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, it's all when I do forgiveness, there is no more offering for sin. I'm finished with it. I'm all done. You're either saved or you're not saved. And therefore, this fear of going to go and boldness when I die. How can you have, are you going to be comfortable? Because you could die. You bet I am. Because I have now life that I already have there. Finished. Verse 19. 10:19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. We have wonderful boldness. Do it again. Practically, when do we have boldness? You got it all the time. Chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And in Hebrews chapter 4, sliding over, as you know, verse 16. Let us then, I'll read verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, our shortcomings, weaknesses, but was in all points tempted, tested, like as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us therefore, being saved, finished work of Christ, he's all done. Let us therefore come boldly, free, fearless, frank, unto the throne of grace. What for? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's what we're going to do. Why are we going to do it? Because we're free to do it. So we have what? John 17. We have boldness. Wonderful, wonderful boldness. Wonderful boldness. When do we have it now? In the light of then, we have wonderful boldness. In the light of the judgment seat of Christ. Over, if you would, while you're here, go with it. Add to what you just read. Hebrews 10, 19, and 4, 16. Add chapter 9. And chapter 9, verse 24. As you know, when we did Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 24. For Christ, who is not entered into the holy places made with hands, no, it isn't a physical thing, which is the figure pointing to the true, pointing to God's wonderful grace, but into heaven itself, now to appear, to be in the presence of, to appear, to be in front of, to appear in the presence of God for us on behalf. Christ is there representing us. We're seated in Christ. We're in Christ. He saves us to the uttermost. He's there. Where is he? Where am I? There. You have boldness. Why do you have boldness? I can pray to God. And it isn't because of anything about us. It's about him. That's why we have boldness. The God who saves us is saving us. Is giving us what? Wonderful freedom to capitalize on being saved. So you say, all these things are coming at us. They may, but I have to tell you, I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. I shared that with you the other day somewhere when I was in engineering coming home and God was doing a great work in my heart and all of that stuff in a wonderful way. And I remember them, I told you all these things, and they brought all my relatives together in a big room, big place. Room, and they wanted me to tell them whatever. A Roman Catholic and everything, all over, you know, everything except being saved. And they were going to quiz me and all that. And I said, all I know, I can tell you, I just remember the idea. You don't need it at all. I said, listen, all I know is I'm saved. Christ died for me. And I am saved. I am saved. You don't look like you're saved. No, I don't. I don't look like I'm saved, but I am saved. I am saved. You betcha. Nothing to do with me. Everything to do with him. That's why I'm saved. That's why I have boldness. I'm here today. I'm going to be there tomorrow, but I'm already there. I'm already there. Hang on. Get verse 18. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, over to 1 Corinthians, as you would know, the bema, the judgment seat of Christ for believers, and you know, just picking it up, just to remind us, when we get there, God's going to go and do a wonderful thing and present us blameless before him. And in the process, he's going to go God gave you, think of prayer meeting, stewardship of the mysteries of God, which we're doing, the mysteries of God, and we have a stewardship. Now we get saved, You get born physically. You're born physically. You aren't supposed to stay a little baby growing and getting a bigger crib till you get a big bed and you're laying in the same bed. No, you're supposed to grow up. We don't bring little babies are cute and whatever they are. Whatever babies are. They are. But no one wants to see the baby stay a baby. No one wants to see that little baby 10 years from now. And there are people that, like that haven't grown and developed. Grown and developed. No one wants that. You expect them to what? Grow. To grow up. That's what you want. That's right. And God brings us, gives us a wonderful birth, a wonderful relationship to grow up. And we're supposed to grow and grow up. And we become involved as a believer in the process of time for the glory of God. And we to do so. And in doing so, you can't just be sort of a goof off. Is that all right to say that? A bum and do nothing. I'm saved and never did anything. Never think anything, never feel anything. I do what I want when I want to want, and I'm saved. Well, you better take a look at that again, because that isn't right. And God said, listen, I gave you a wonderful responsibility to represent me, Acts 1:8, on planet Earth. That's why I saved you. Now you need to know when I'm going to give an account to me. So you don't just live a sloppy little life as a believer. You want to live a very wonderful life, trusting God in a real practical, wonderful way, because it's finished. So therefore, 1 Corinthians and chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you remember in verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that which that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's the foundation. If any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, you can put. What are you going to do now that you're saved? You're supposed to grow up in the truth and know and have a wonderful relationship to the living God. Verse 12. Now if any man build upon the foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, clear, public, plain. What for? How so? For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If it's wood, hay, and stubble, the fire is going to all gone. If it's gold, silver, precious stones, it'll just do nothing. Verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned up, he shall suffer loss. But you can't lose what you did. You got saved. Therefore, verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned up, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved. Yet so as by fire, God saved you, period. When you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, it was finished. You don't have to go to school and go 100 other things. What you need to do is bend your heart and let God help your mind to grow and to know in that relationship in a wonderful way. He and you, and you and him in a most wonderful way, as we did with the cups. Just practice that. That's what you do. That's what you do. And if I may, here you are. And you get saved. Christ saves you in a wonderful way. And that's what it is. Now, also, at the same time, he places you in God. So God is in you. And you are in God. We did this. That's where it is. Now, If you don't, I'm going to test. I'm looking for what God has. What you've done in growing up and maturing and letting God deal with your life to grow up and have a changed life in a wonderful way. I'm going to judge that. And all that you did in self-effort, like I crucified it. The flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It, nothing to do. Carnal, fleshly, in no way can please God. I'm done. I'm looking for this relationship. To the extent you live it, it'll be tested by fire, but it will pass the test. To the extent that you didn't do it, it'll be burned up. That's all. But you'll still be saved. You'll still be saved. That's the wonder of it. You're still going to be saved. Even though saved is by fire. But you won't be saved. So you can't live a sloppy life, which is what happens. And people do that. What does that? Go to church. I've been to church. Answer the church. I'm done with church. I did it. I paid my dues. You know, that's good. No, it isn't about that. I know that's what people do. But we don't try to do that. We're trying to understand. Here we are reading 1 John. And 1 John. Back over, if you would. On your way back, stop at 2 Corinthians, by the way. On your way back, stop in 2 Corinthians. And remember the Bema seat, judgment seat of Christ for believers. And in the process, here it is again. And I want to read it, if I may. In chapter 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 5. Now, he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest, the down payment of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is going to go, verse 6, to help us. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. But we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. We're looking to go home. We're here, but we're there. Verse 10, verse 9. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted, highly favored of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Therefore, verse 11, therefore knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest unto our conscience. Back to 1 John 4 and 18. You have boldness before God. 1 John 4, 18. You have boldness in a most wonderful way. And that because if I die, I'm going to be before God. You're right. But are you going to be punished? God may do some terrible thing. No, he's not going to do a terrible thing. He saved me. I can't be more saved. I may miss some benefits and some things in some wonderful way because I sort of lost up my time on earth, but that's my problem. But God's going to get rid of all that. He's just going to leave me with his wonderful saving grace. And that's why I'm going to heaven. Why you want to go? Not just going to get anything, going to be a big guy. No. No, just going to be there. Just going to be there. That's enough. Just to be there. Yeah. Is he by fire? Mm-hmm. By fire. Now, what 1 John? And it begins. 1 John chapter 4. And we have, if we may, verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, complete, crossed the goal line, finished. that we may have boldness, free, frank, fearless, in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world, in the most wonderful, wonderful way. As the Father sent me, so he sends us in his most wonderful way. Therefore, having said that and keeping that in mind, so that God sends us forth and we're to be his, to be imitate, we reflect him as he is, and God, here we are. John 17:18, as we shared, as the Father sent me, so send I you. And if you did indeed 1 Peter, he leaves us an example to follow in his steps, to follow in his steps. And what are we going to do? We're children of God. We ought to walk in love and be imitators. We are followers of you. That's what we are, imitators. And what do you mean? When you see the Lord Jesus said, Acts 1:8, you're my witness. So when they see you, they see me. I find my home in your heart. So when they see you, they could see me. And therefore, Paul, so what are we doing? We're going to follow the Lord. Hold your finger here a minute. Over to 1 Corinthians 11, just for a moment. And 1 Corinthians and chapter 11. And you will note, the Lord said, follow me as I follow. So here's the Apostle Paul, and here we are. John is telling the disciples, the believers, to look to the Lord and be thankful, be bold, come freely to the throne of grace, and just enjoy the trip and trust God. There's a judgment coming, but you don't have to worry about that in that way. No, because you've already been punished. Christ took you to the cross already. He's done with that. So he's finished with that. So now, chapter 11, verse 1, Paul says, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now, we're to follow him, down like Caleb and Joshua in the Old Testament. We're following him, but in his steps, where, as my Father sent me, so send I you. Power, you see, Acts 1:8. And what are we doing? So we're going. And so if we do that right, we're able to say, if I'm going in the right direction, follow me as I follow Christ. Am I going in the right direction? If I follow your life, if I look at it, how close will I get to God? Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. And we share these things many, many times. You can't, what are you doing? You don't see the face. You see the back because you're following. You're following. I'm looking to Christ. Paul is looking to Christ. And so if you look where I look, I'm looking to Christ. And that's what I want you to do. That's why we're up here, for you to look to Christ. I'm looking to Christ. You look to Christ. Don't look at me. I don't even wear pants. I have some, I think of my ties. I have all kinds of ties. I can put them out there for you. Ties cost a lot of money, but I got a pile of them. A lot of ties. Fat ties, little ties, long ties, wrong, all kinds of ties. You and I have some very pretty ties. Pretty ties. I think they're pretty. If you like pretty ties. If you like them. I don't wear pretty ties. I have ties that are flashy, red. They blink. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I don't do it. It isn't about me. I try to have nothing up here that gets me. I don't want you to think about it. One person, follow me. I'm pointing to Christ. I'm pointing to Christ. I'm not interested in anything else. I'm pointing to him. That's what you want to do. Pointing to him. Because that's where I'm going. I'm headed that way. be imitators, followers of God in Christ, Paul said, as I do. I did that a little bit. It's not, but I think it helps. Because all of this is, it ought to be fixing our life to understand his presence, and we're moving in it, moving in it. And that's what we want. Otherwise, we've got nothing. You have a lot of religion up to here. And when you close the door, you don't have it. It's all outside. Doesn't do you a bit of good. Not a bit of good. Well, I'm in and out. Sure you are. That's all right. At least something. Try something. God help us. And I got to close it. You don't have to turn there. And what's it going to avoid? The love of God has no judgment. If the love of God, which you're in, verse 16, you know, 1 John 4:16, the love of God, God is love. There is no fear in love. There is none. And the word fear is the word punishment. Punishment. There is no punishment in the love of God. You're saved by grace. And you're going to be saved as by fire. You may louse up a lot of things in your life and end up, but at least you'll be saved, I hope. At least you'll be saved. But boy, you could be more than saved. You understand? Follow me as I follow Christ. I hope that helps a little bit. That's the main point. I gotta quit. I could do verse 18. But I'll have nothing to say if the Lord tarries. Do you understand? Another Sunday can come, and I have to figure out something else to say. So if I use it all up today, I won't have anything left. Understand? We'll pray. Our Father and God, we thank you for your kindness and your grace. It's a wonderful thing, God. We have wonderful boldness. God, we have no question. We're able to say even now, my Father, yeah, my Lord, Spirit of God, yeah. No messing around. No, we got it. So God help us. Here we have it, to enjoy your saving grace, your finished work, in order that we might do what we should do and be a testimony, your witness, even so come. And even then, God, God, so that all the things could be said to us and about us, and all the things could be threatening and take us, take our mind, our heart, to doubt, to fear, to get discouraged, and all the things that happen. All of those things happen, God, can happen, but God, none of them can take away that which we know for sure. Absent from the body is to be present with you. And God, that's a sure thing. So, God, help us. Help us a lot. And we'll thank you very, very, very much. Remember now, it's just us, God. It's just us here. We're trying, God. No, we're not. We're trying. No, we're going to be trusting you with thanksgiving, with understanding. God, we want to understand and practice our understanding. And our Father will thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.